91.3 WLRN presents Topical Currents. Stay tuned for our restaurant roundabout extravaganza with chef author and syndicated columnist Linda Gassenheimer. Good afternoon, it's Bonnie Berman with Joseph Cooper. We'll hear reports from our lineup of restaurant reviewers covering the Gold Coast. And of course, there are always openings, closings, chef changes, and menus to learn about. But we especially look forward to hearing from you about your favorites. Where's the best steak for the money? How about hearty diner food, vegetarian treats, or a great neighborhood pizza? We look forward to hearing from you. Topical Currents up next, the restaurant roundabout after the news. Welcome back to Thursday's Topical Currents. Bonnie Berman with Joseph Cooper.
I'm getting that feeling of the holidays are here, Bonnie, like I always do every year.
Just around this time.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? Linda's looking. Okay, today's our popular restaurant roundabout. We have quite a panel assembled, and we'll get the inside info from three restaurant connoisseurs. Of course, Linda Gassenheimer anchors the hour. We'll be taking your calls. And the holidays usually bring a lot of eating out, so we'll get some tips for really nice meals. Hi, Linda.
Hello, Bonnie and Joe. Great Hello. To be with you. Right, as you mentioned, it's a popular, very popular restaurant review program, and there's always a lot of news in South Florida for sure. So our reviewers that we have today in studio with us is Evan Benn. He's the Miami Herald food editor, and he's going to cover Miami-Dade and whatever else he has to say. He always has a lot to say. Welcome, Evan Benn.
Thank you.
Great to have you with us. And with us also is Jen Koretnik. She's the restaurant critic for Miami Magazine. Welcome, Jen.
Hi, Linda. How are you?
Great to have you with us.
And thank you.
Matt Meltzer. He's the Miami editor for the Thrillist Media Group, and he's going to cover Broward County for us. And welcome. Matt, I understand you're up in New York at the Thrillist offices.
Yeah, I am actually in the Thrillist offices. I don't understand why anybody lives here. I really don't.
The mothership.
Wait a minute.
Oh, no, the offices are nice, but the city is, it's rough, man. If you complain about Miami traffic, boy, we have nothing on these guys.
All right. Well, we're going to get to the food part, so that'll be fun. And, of course, we'd love to hear from you, our listeners. Do you have any tips or a restaurant treasure that you'd like to share with us? Maybe it's a mom-and-pop place with really great food. Or maybe you've got some pet peeves you want to warn us about. Give us a call. That's 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN.
Or email is radio@WLRN.org, radio@WLRN.org.
And one more person to introduce, of course, our favorite wine guy, is Fred Tasker. He's with us today. He's joining us by Skype. Fred writes the wine suggestion for my Dinner in Minutes column that you can read in the Miami Herald, and you can also read Fred Tasker's wine column on the Saturday's Miami Herald. Hello, Fred.
Hi, Linda. Hey, I'm glad to hear that Joe has the Christmas spirit. That's really something.
Oh, good. You're going to help him with it. I'm sure of that. And by the way, all the restaurants that will be mentioned today will be listed on my blog at dinnerinminutes.com. And if you miss some of the program and you want to hear it, it'll be archived at WLRN.org. So let's go quickly to a few things that I've noticed. There's always a lot of openings, but also restaurants are updating themselves. And the word I see most often is bistro. It seems that that's the restaurant theme of the moment. Two bistro restaurants. The Marion is a Mediterranean restaurant in Brickell, and it styles itself as a French bistro with Mediterranean food. It's very chic, and it looks very much like what I would consider a very upscale bistro, wouldn't you say, Evan? Yeah, he's shaking his head. He's not television. You've got to speak, Evan. and also, GK Bistro, Bistronomy. A mixture of bistro and gastronomy gastronomy. Sorry, it's called, or you can call it GKB for short. It's in Wynwood, and it's Peruvian with a modern twist along with some modern chic decor. The chef, Rafael Perez, was at the exclusive Little Palm Island Resort in Little Torch Key. And of course, the restaurants are changing their image to keep up with our very flexible community here. The Satay Hotel has changed their restaurant concept. It's now called Jaya, and I was told by them it means victory in Hindi Sanskrit. Their French chef is Matthias Gervais. He's still there, but he's added an executive sous chef from India, Vijay Veena, and I'm told he's also influenced by his Japanese wife. So we've got Asian flavors, and again, Evan's nodding his head. Okay, another top hotel, the Mandarin on Brickell Key, is introducing a new chef to their Azul restaurant, Benjamin Murray. And again, American cuisine with, guess what? Asian touch. And Asian
chef,
touch.
Chef Benjamin is actually of Japanese Jewish descent, so he has a lot of interesting flavors in his arsenal. And he kind of flexes his muscles on both ends, making kind of modern Asian food and then also kind of traditional American food with a fine dining touch.
So they'll have kosher sushi, I guess.
Exactly. There is, we talked about, there's a kosher sushi place in Surfside, 26. It's called 26 Sushi and Tapas.
Mm-hmm. All right. Friends of Tiramisu, which was 17 years on Lincoln Road, can now go to its new location, which is 101 Washington Avenue. And brunch is so popular and becoming more so in the restaurant scene. The local craft food and drink on Geralda in Coral Gables, they're featuring local ingredients, but most important, a boozy Sunday lunch. They're calling it a boozy Sunday lunch, featuring specialty cocktails to go with their food. Okay, Evan Bent, so now tell us some more. What's more news?
You can't have brunch without booze, right? That makes sense.
They've got a lot of it there. I must say, they're very tasty, their booze.
Yeah. We were talking about brunch, my dish of the year. We're talking about top 10 lists and kind of the year-end countdowns. My dish of the year is a brunch dish that's actually served directly across the street from the local, which I also love. But it's called the Smashed Avo, and it's at Threefold Cafe, also on Geralda.
Threefold Cafe.
My 2015 dish of the year. I just thought it was kind of the perfect mix of that mushy, delicious avocado. They had some salty, thyme-roasted portobello mushrooms, really crusty Zach the Baker bread, and then kind of garnished with basil, and it's just a terrific dish.
Okay.
But you're right. We're in that sweet spot kind of right after Art Basel when a lot of restaurants hustle to get open, and now before the Wine and Food Festival in February, also when there's a big push for restaurants to get open. So we're seeing, a ton of restaurant openings again, the ones that you mentioned. And then there are also, as always, it seems, a lot of celebrity chef restaurants opening in South Beach in particular.
Okay. So the celebrity restaurants that are opening, what's your take on that?
Well, there are a lot of them, and we see there are always more and more celebrity chefs coming online because there's always a new season of Top Chef. There's always a new restaurant program kind of making celebrities out of everyday chefs. But, we do have some bona fides coming down here. Paul Kui, who is a chef who won Top Chef and is based in Austin, Texas, he's opening a restaurant called PAO at the Fana, Miami Beach.
P-A-U?
P-A-O.
P-A-O, okay. At the Fana, the very fancy new restaurant.
Very fancy new hotel residence complex. And next to Fana, next to Kui's restaurant, PAO, is a restaurant called from the Argentinian chef Francis Malman called Los Fuegos, which is also just opening now
at the
Fana. So those are two, really legit celebrity chef restaurant openings that I'm very excited about.
Okay, sounds great. Well, let's go to Jen. Jen, what's on your list?
Well, Le Zoo is opened in Bell Harbor Shops. And speaking of restaurants,
say the name again, Jen.
Le Zoo.
Le Zoo.
Yeah.
The new Stephen Starr restaurant.
Okay. Oh, yes,
yeah.
Right. Okay.
Right. So, speaking of bistros, of which he's got it sort of written all over the menu. It's a brasserie. It's a bistro. It's a cafe. It's just about anything you want to call it. So, it's actually very good. And it's not quite as perhaps fancy as Marion, but it really reminds me of a spot that Hemingway would like to go and sit and write at, sip some Sancerre, have some oysters. So it's quite a comfortable little venture there.
Okay. Let's give out our number again. If you'd like to call in, we'd love to hear from you about your favorite mom-and-pop places or your treasures. That's 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN. And we're going to be taking the calls soon. Matt Meltzer, what have you got to tell us about the restaurant scene in South Florida?
Well, all kinds of fun stuff going on in Broward, Linda. The first one I want to talk about is the new Hyde Beach up there in Hollywood. A lot of times, you know, you have out-of-towners that say, oh, I want to go eat somewhere nice that's right on the sand, and then you run through your brain of places in South Beach, and you realize nowhere's really right on the sand except maybe Smith's. The Hyde Beach is from the same chef. The menu was created by the same chef from Clio, Danny Elmalay out of California. And if you've been to Clio and you like the food there, the food at Hyde is just as good, but the view is even better because you're right up on the water. It's an absolutely amazing place to go eat. Beyond that, Boatyard has reopened. The guys who are behind Fork and Balls and that restaurant group up there in Fort Lauderdale have
melted. Wait, say that name again, the Fork and Balls place.
Fork and Balls. Yeah, you just wanted me to say balls again, didn't you? I know how you go.
She goaded you.
Yeah,
no, Linda, listen, you always remind me that it's a family-friendly show.
I just wanted to know the name of the restaurant.
It refers to meatballs. I mean, that's what we're talking about. Listen, I'm not even talking about that restaurant, but they
Boatyard.
Partnered
we're
with
talking
the
about
old
Boatyard.
Bimini Boatyard people
yes.
to reopen Boatyard there, right there on 17th, right before the bridge in Fort Lauderdale. Great, great boat-up restaurant, great outdoor eating spot, great outdoor drinking spot. And the restaurant group has come in there and kind of taken over a lot of the food there, and they got a great thing going on there. And then finally, Pizza Craft and Apothecary on Las Olas, which is artisan pizza, which is something that they just don't have a lot of in Fort Lauderdale to this point. It's a new artisan pizza shop, and then if you push this wall in the back that has a bunch of cheese names written on it, and you slide that wall to the side, you get this awesome cocktail bar called Apothecary back there, where they have the most hipster thing I've ever heard, pineapple-infused Cutty Sark, which,
Wait,
you know, if you're into Cutty Sark and craft cocktails... It's quite a trip.
All
yeah,
right.
these little cocktail hidden bars are now coming back. They're very popular. Coyo also has a little hidden tequila bar behind it. So they're
And Bodega in South Beach also has kind of that secret back bar that you get to through a faux porta potty entrance.
Yeah, I think people like to pretend that we're that
they
we're
call
back
them secret
in the
bars,
days
but
when,
you know, you go there and it still takes 20 minutes to get a drink. So I feel like that secret is pretty much out. Like, we know.
Yeah.
Well, who do you have to be for them to tell you about their secret place? Do you have to be LeBron James or somebody?
You have to be listening to the radio
about
program.
On the radio.
Actually, Matt, there also is that bar at Hyde Park, too.
There is. Yeah, the bar there is also very good.
Yeah, it's cool.
But, you know. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to be taking your calls very soon, but at the moment we're going to take a short break. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and we're talking about South Florida restaurants with Evan Benn, Jen Koretnik, and Matt Meltzer. We'll take a short break, and we'll be back with more. We're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. It's our Restaurant Roundabout program. We've been talking about South Florida restaurants. Giving us the latest news is Evan Benn. He's the Miami Herald food editor. Jen Koretnik is the restaurant critic for Miami Magazine. And Matt Meltzer is the Miami editor for Thrillist Media Group. And of course, you are listeners. We're going to be starting to take your calls now. We'd love to hear from you. Mom and Pop Place, one of your treasures. Give us a call. That's 800-743-WLRN, 800-743-9576. Let's go to line one. Larry, you're on the air.
Hi. Well, I'm going to tell you about a mom and pop place in Pompano Beach.
Okay.
It's a new Greek restaurant. It's called Table 2201. And the owner is a fellow named Bill, and his wife, Mariana, is the chef. And they produce the freshest, most beautifully prepared fish you can imagine, and modern versions of the classics. And it's delicious, savory, and reasonably priced.
All right. Well, thank you very much. That's a Greek restaurant in Pompano Beach.
And I wonder, is the name related to the address?
Yes, it's at 2201 East Atlantic.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye.
And let's go to Janet. Janet in Fort Lauderdale. Hi, Janet. You're on the air. Hi, Janet, you're up.
Hello, Janet.
Janet.
Oh, do we have your name right? Is it called?
Must be written wrong. Anyway, go ahead, sir.
Okay, fine. Do you want to see seafood in Lighthouse Point? All right, let's go to the next one. Debbie in Miami. Hi, Debbie, you're on the air.
Hi there, how's everybody?
We're great, how you doing?
Good. I love a mom and pop restaurant in Miami called Gold China. It's Chinese and they consistently put out great food, and the key is to order from the blackboard.
Okay, and where's it located?
152nd and US 1.
I used to live right across from that place. It was my go-to takeout joint. It's phenomenal and great on Christmas too.
I was gonna say, it's a good Christmas option.
Well,
it is.
It's packed on Christmas, but Christmas Eve, they have a bus of carolers that go throughout the city that sing Christmas carols in Chinese and English, and that's the time to be there when the people come to sing. They only come and do a 10-minute, you know, choir routine, but it's well worth it.
Okay, well, that's Gold China.
Gold China.
All right. Thank you for your call, Debbie.
All righty.
Thank you.
Happy holiday.
And to you. Our number is 800-743-9576. Call us with your recommendations or if you have a complaint that we'd love to hear about. Okay, let's go.
I'll have to change my Christmas Eve plans. I don't know. I was going to go to Bozzi because they make Peking duck. So I don't know. Now I have to think about it.
That's Jen.
That's Jen speaking. Yes.
Yes.
Hello,
Jen.
Yeah, well, you know. We have our traditions, don't we, Linda?
I have never heard about Chinese on Christmas, and nobody believes me. That's what happens with a New Englander. I'm sorry. Okay,
yeah, Lee. It's a New Jersey thing.
I see. I think it's more than that. But let's go to Lee in Palmetto Bay. Hello, Lee. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you?
Great. What's going on?
I wanted to ask and also recommend a restaurant in Wynwood. It's been there, what, maybe a year now? Called Alter. Alter, as in, I guess,
right.
As in alternative.
Uh-huh.
Great place. Got to have a reservation, though. And it's really fascinating. It's interesting because it's all the artfully plated type stuff.
I think, Evan, you've written about this.
Yeah, we're going to talk about our top 10 best reviewed restaurants of 2015, and Alter is actually number one on that list.
Really? I tuned in late.
No, you came in just in time. It's it's the only restaurant that has received a 4-star review from the Miami Herald in 2015. And you mentioned the name. I think Alter is a reference to they want to alter your perception of food and dining can be.
I asked about it, and they said. Well, it's Alter as an alternative,
yeah.
And it's a fascinating place.
I guess the
chef's originally out of Chicago.
Right. Did you said you had a question?
No, I guess you kind of answered it at the same time when you said you were already aware of it.
All right.
I didn't realize it was on the top 10 list.
You can read the full list.
Everybody loves it.
You can read the full list in Saturday's Miami Herald.
Okay.
Oh, it's going to be Saturday's Miami Herald?
Yes, sir.
Oh, great. I'm going to have to look for it. We've been having a little trouble with our delivery, so I'll be sure to be out there looking for it.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thanks again.
What
and
can you do
guys,
about
I
that?
Love your show.
Lee, thanks.
Let's talk offline.
Right. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, let's go to Michael in Coral Springs on line one. Hello, Michael.
How are you doing?
Hi.
So I wanted to recommend the Cook and the Clerk in Coral Springs. They've been open for about a year now, a little over a year. Amazing, amazing food. Great chefs in the kitchen, award-winning wine list.
What kind of food is it?
They do a little bit of everything from Korean spare ribs. My favorite is their short ribs with wasabi mashed potatoes. Absolutely killer. They do a lot of sous vide-ing. They dry age their own steaks in-house. I mean, these guys do everything the right way.
All right. Well, then, thank you for your call, Michael.
Thank you.
Our reviewers, jump in anytime you want, Matt or Evan or Jen, if you want to comment on the restaurants they're talking about, please do. And then we'll go to Melissa in Deerfield Beach. Hello, Melissa. You're on the air.
Hi. How's it going?
Great. What have you got?
I'm calling about Rebel House. It's in Boca Raton off of Palmetto 297. It's a gastropub. They opened about 2.5 years ago, and it's Chef Mike Saperstein and this guy, Evan David, who's behind it, and they're just kicking out some really cool stuff. They change the menu pretty frequently. My personal favorite is the fried chicken, and they also have an amazing fried rice and crazy cocktails that they change almost every other day. There's something new to drink, and there's some live music, piano bars, and a really nice feel.
How's the beer?
The beer is really cool. They change it. They actually started brewing their own beer. It's called Rebel something with Cigar City Brewing Company.
Sure. That's out of Tampa.
Yeah. So they make some really cool stuff over there. And they just change the menu all the time. So you kind of got to stay consistent, keep going, and see what's happening, what's new. They also have a burger place in Deerfield Beach, which is right next to my house, which is how I started learning about them. And they have a great four-draw burger. And then if you're getting crazy, have the munchies, or if they're open late night and they have a burger that's double beef, double cheese, a hash brown, a fried egg, lettuce, tomato, pickle.
Oh, okay, Melissa, you're making us all very, very hungry.
Joe's probably going to be over there in about 2 seconds.
That's a good pick. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Thanks, Melissa.
You want to talk about gastro pubs up that way? There's a great one up in Delray called Freehouse, too, that opened about four months ago or so. And they have a phenomenal beer selection. Probably the best gastro pub food I've had in South Florida.
Okay, why don't we describe what is gastropub? It's become, I think it's been a couple of years now that everybody's been using that term. Anybody want to describe that?
I mean, literally it means like a bar with food, but of course that would be any bar that has food. But gastropub is kind of where they take that bar-style food, things like sliders, maybe pastas, burgers, things of that nature, and then they make them a little more interesting. They put sort of a culinary spin on it, so it's not just ordering up fried food or a hamburger at the bar. It's ordering up something interesting that a chef kind of created and thought about. And they have, like, at Freehouse, they smoke their own meats there, and they pull them and put them on sliders. So it's a different experience than just going up to, you know, Hooters or something, or Fridays, you know.
Totally. Like, it's a fancy way of saying elevated pub grub.
There you go. Yeah.
Oh, elevated pub grub. Okay.
Gastropub.
All right, then. Let's go to James. James in Fort Lauderdale. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm calling about Louis Bonzi's Italian Restaurant Day.
James, we're having a little trouble hearing you. Are you on a speakerphone?
I'm in my car.
Oh, you're in your car. All right, then just speak up. What have you got for us?
Can you hear me now?
Louis Bonzi's, huh?
What's it called?
Louis Bonzi's Italian Restaurant Day.
I'm having a little trouble hearing you.
I'm going to take myself off.
Okay, it's on Los Olas.
Okay. Well, you know about the restaurant. Why don't you tell us?
Yeah,
Evan?
Louis Bonzi's is on Los Olas. It's from the same restaurant group behind Big City Tavern, also on Los Olas. And Louis Bonzi is the name of the executive chef there. So they kind of gave him his own restaurant. It opened this summer. And Matt, you may know more about it than I do, but I heard they've been killing it.
That is a great spot. And you talk about a new pizza up in Broward, Louis Bonzi, and then this other pizza craft place. They really bought that authentic Italian style crisp crust wood oven type pizza up there. Louis Bonzi will not have a bad meal there. I've been there probably 4 or 5 times now, and it's a dynamite, and certainly a needed addition to Las Olas.
You know, this whole thing with pizza. I mean, how many pizza restaurants have opened? How much gourmet pizza have we got here?
What's going on with this?
Well, I think it goes back to what you were saying, observing about the bistro trend. Mm-hmm. I think it's just a natural progression. People kind of want to eat but not break the bank every time they go out, and you know, a gourmet pizzeria or a kind of an upscale but still casual bistro will give you that opportunity.
Of course, and then it goes well with beer, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Evan's our beer
burgers.
Person. Yeah, go
you
ahead,
know,
Jen.
You can never have too many burger places, and you know, even the St. Regis is now getting in the game. We have the BH Burger Bar at St. Regis Bell Harbor Resort, so you're never going to see too many burger places, too many pizza places. This is a staple of the American diet.
Italian restaurants, steakhouses, they all seem to do well down here, if done well.
Well, that's a big if, because we're getting to there are a lot of closings. We might mention a couple of them. We have just a minute.
Closings are inevitable. We mentioned Anna Capri on Ponce in Coral Gables, closed last month after an 11-year run there. It's still open in Pinecrest, the original. Hai Vong, which was a longtime Vietnamese staple on 8th Street.
They were terrific. I hope she does find another place.
Well, they are going to be doing a regular pop-up series in the bookstore in Coconut Grove, which has a kitchen. And so they're going to be there Friday and Saturday. So
every weekend, Jen?
Every weekend, yeah. They announced that, I believe it was last weekend. They had done a pop-up in somewhere that didn't have a kitchen, and it was very difficult for them, but then the bookstore in the Grove, I'm not sure if that's the exact name, but there is a bookstore in Coconut Grove that
it's
has a
kitchen. It's called the bookstore in Coconut Grove.
Yeah. Okay, so
thanks,
it is the bookstore in Coconut Grove. it was one of those generic names, bookstore in Coconut Grove.
Okay, well, a lot of people...
And they're going to be there for 3 days every weekend now. So
wow, a lot of people...
We have not lost them for good.
A lot of people are going to be very, very excited about that because... they have such a wonderful following. But
I think the bookstore in the Grove is the official name. I think the problem is going to be reservations.
Okay.
And trying to get in there, because once people really figure out that they're actually going to be doing that, well, now they'll know. It will be probably kind of tough to get a seat. Okay.
Well, we're going to have to go to a break now. So I'm Linda Gassenheimer. We're talking about South Florida restaurants with Evan Benn, Jen Koretnik, and Matt Meltzer. We'll take a short break, and we'll be back with lots more. And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and it's our restaurant review program. We've been talking about the South Florida restaurant scene, and giving us the latest news is Evan Benn. He's the Miami Herald food editor. Jen Koretnik is the critic, a restaurant critic for Miami Magazine, and Matt Meltzer, he's the Miami editor for Thrillist Media Group. And of course, you, our listeners, have been giving us some wonderful tips on your little treasures that you've found. So call in with your treasures. We'd love to hear from you. That's 800-743-9576, 800-743-WLRN.
Our email is radio@WLRN.org.
Okay. Well, let's go then to Arturo. Arturo and Kendall.
Hello.
Hi, Arturo. You're on the air.
Hi. How's it going?
It's going great. We want to hear about some good food from you.
Absolutely. There's this hole in the wall called Dr. Limon in Kendall, the Peruvian restaurant. I believe it has 3 years so far. It started off small, and now it's become nice and big, really modern. They have 17 different types of ceviches. And what is awesome is that they offer healthy, great tasting food, and you got craft beers, you got sangria, you got pisco's, you got really good wine list. It's just a really good place, so I always suggest it to all my friends.
And, well, that's rather a strange name, Dr. Limon.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a funky concept, but still, you know, service is good, and everything's great, so I tell all my friends that.
Great, that's terrific. Thank you for your call.
You're very welcome.
It's not a mom and pop place by any means, but Pisco y Nazca is another Peruvian restaurant that just opened in Kendall in the at the Palms in Town and Country. I haven't been in yet, but I've heard good things. It's from the same people who run Booyah Gastro Bar in Coral Gables, which is a favorite.
Right.
What about Coya Miami?
Oh yes, that's excellent.
It is so good.
Expensive though, yeah.
It is expensive, but...
Well, I always say to people, just go on and have a drink, because it's such a beautiful place to see.
And they actually have, like, a private area, a club you can join.
Right.
Yes. And if you're very lucky and it's filled, they'll seat you in there anyway.
Ah. And they have really good drinks. I had an avocado cocktail when I was there, and it was so good.
Yeah, they have very interesting drinks, they do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just fun to walk around in there. They'll let you walk around with a drink in your hand and look at all of the antiques and beautiful wall hangings and doors and everything that they have brought over.
And yeah, very, very
really
different from
it's
other
like
restaurants.
It's like an art gallery in there.
Yeah, it's really beautiful.
Okay, well, let's go to Harrison in Pembroke Pines. Hello, Harrison. You're on the air.
Hi, I'm calling to recommend the Cook and the Cork. In Coral Springs.
Okay, I think someone's already mentioned the Cook and the Cork in Coral Springs, but we're glad to hear have another person talk about it.
It definitely has a following. I think the Sun Sentinel gave it a 4-star review, if I'm not mistaken, maybe 3.5 last year. But yeah, it keeps coming up. People love the Cook and the Cork.
Okay.
Yeah, they're Korean braised barbs with cucumber kimchi. It's all house made, and the barbs are sous vide, are just to die for.
Cool.
All right, sounds good. Thank you for your call, Harrison.
Thank you.
And we'll go to line two. We'll go to Jim in Fort Lauderdale. Hi, Jim. You're on the air.
Hey, Linda. I've got a great barbecue restaurant. Now, it's out at a garden center out in Davie, so they're only open on weekends, Saturday and Sunday. But you bring your dog out there. It's called Flamingo Road Nursery, and it's a barbecue place. It's like a tiki hut. wide open, and they had the best brisket that I've ever tasted. Perfect smoke ring. Delicious.
Wow.
So that's in the garden itself, in the garden, garden store?
It's a big garden center, and they have a freestanding tiki hut, and they do the barbecue. They've been there at least 3 years, and the cool thing is I can take my dog there.
You mentioned that.
Can you go without a dog?
You can walk all around the gardens and buy stuff, and they have a farmer's market out there, too.
What other kinds of barbecue they have besides the brisket?
Chicken, pulled pork, pulled chicken, and then, of course, they have regular hamburgers and hot dogs, but the brisket, I think it's standout, and, of course, ribs.
Nice.
Ribs is a huge thing. I've tried pretty much everything.
Okay, sounds good.
What has your dog had?
they give away dog treats there, too.
Okay. Well, I was thinking maybe you'd give them a bone or something.
Okay, you know? I guess you have to be careful where you step when you go through there.
All right, but it's only open on weekends, so don't go out there during the week and expect it to be open.
All right, Jim,
worth it.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
All right, let's go to line three, Matt in Fort Lauderdale. Hi, Matt, you're on the air.
Hey, how are you? Love the show, love the topic.
Great.
I'm also calling from downtown Fort Lauderdale. My family lives in Victoria Park, and so we have a lot of eating options, but there's a couple of places that we end up going to time and time again. The first one is not that sexy, but the food is absolutely delicious. It's called Il Molina on Sunrise, heading east towards the beach. And a couple of blocks east of that is a place that's very attractive from an atmosphere. It's called Serafina. It's another little Italian place right on the water. And they just expanded the location. It's absolutely wonderful. Service is great. Really friendly staff, and the food's to die for. So just wanted to let people know about those
two
locations.
This Il Molina, is that related to some of the restaurants down here?
No, I think you're referring to Il Molino, which is
exactly,
in Sunny
right.
Isles Beach, and then also south of Fifth in Miami Beach. But this sounds like it's Il Molina, which I think is different.
Right.
Yeah, it's been there for a long time. Yeah.
Long time. It's a staple. It's one of those places you can always walk in. They have a balsamic chicken salad with feta cheese that is literally to die for.
Now you're making Bonnie hungry. I think we're making other people hungry as well. Thank you for your call, Matt.
Thanks, guys.
All right. And we'll go to Oren. Oren's in Fort Lauderdale. Did you take him off the air?
No.
No. Okay. Hello, Oren, Fort Lauderdale.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, Oren.
Hi, everybody. First, I have to agree with the previous caller about Il Molino and Serafina, both great restaurants. But I was calling also about Temple Street Eatery.
Hello?
For about a year, maybe a little bit longer. And it's Asian food with a New Age spin. And they do just a fantastic job. I teach food service management and hospitality management at Johnson & Wales University, and I've been in the business for many years, so I'm pretty critical. And they just do a fantastic job with the food, with the service, just great restaurant.
Where is it located, Oren?
Downtown Fort Lauderdale.
Fort Lauderdale, okay.
Yeah, Fort Lauderdale downtown on Federal Highway. It's a single-unit restaurant. I made friends with the owners, and they're just really good people.
Okay.
That place is fantastic. I've been there a couple times. It's fast casual, and it's as far as fast casual Asian goes, some of the best I've had in South Florida. I mean, I can't think of another one off the top of my head that was up there with that place. If you like that kind of food, really, it's a great bet.
Okay, that's Temple Street in Fort Lauderdale.
Temple Street Eatery.
Mm-hmm. Temple Street Eatery. What is this? So that now what we're saying, the trend for 2016 is going to be Bistro Asian food? Is that what you're thinking?
Well,
Bistro
it's definitely
Asian food,
Asian.
Maybe with a little Miami flair.
Yeah.
So
local Asian made with local products, street food Asian, any kind of Asian you want to put it on is going to be Asian.
Okay. And when they're saying,
and now we have Nayara now too, which is the new Thai place that has just opened on South Beach. So
how are you
we're
spelling
definitely
that,
getting, Jen? It's NAIYARA.
That's Chef B from the old Tong River House.
And Oishi Thai. He's Oishi Thai in North Miami. Same guy.
Right.
Okay. Well, I guess Asian's not just Chinese, though. We're thinking all kinds of flavors.
Yeah, Asia's a big continent.
So we can
big continent. And, you know, people even throw the subcontinent India in there, too. You know, it's the Asian
I was gonna
food,
say,
food,
right.
food now, too. So.
All right. Thank you very much. Andrew in Fort Lauderdale. Oops. Line one. Wake up, Joe. Joe's on the phone. Okay.
You know, we start talking about Asian food, he goes to sleep. We got to talk about
No. I love Asian food.
Yeah. Okay. Barbecue.
Barbecue, and he's alert.
Exactly. Andrew, Fort Lauderdale, you're on the air.
Hi, how y'all doing?
Great.
Great. I actually was just calling because I just moved to the area about a month and a half ago, so I don't have too many good recommendations. But I just found your show, so I've been listening intently and trying to write down as much as I can.
Well, that was an important find for you, okay?
It was amazing.
We're here every week. All right, Andrew?
I'm all in. I'm all in. I'm all about it now. But I have to give one shout-out. My very first day in South Florida, I moved from the Northeast, and my first day I found Bella Sera Pizza on Commercial Ave. And they treated me like I was a family member they hadn't seen in years. They welcomed me to the community, made me feel super comfortable. Amazing staff and really, really good pizza. I know you've had a lot of pizza recommendations on the show so far, but I have to give those guys a big shout out.
Well, you know, apparently we don't have enough pizza places, right? Because everyone's opening. I know that Michael Schwartz opened his pizza place in Coconut Grove, right across the street from another pizza place, and then on Commodore Plaza, another pizza place is going to be opening. So I think they'll all
do
all right.
You can never have too much pizza.
Okay.
I think I'm going to open a bistro pizza place that serves Asian food.
With a good burger.
With a good burger and some craft beer. Come on, some craft beer in there and we're all set.
All right.
Don't forget wine.
Okay, Fred.
Andrew, thanks for your call.
Has wine
Thank you very
been
much,
forgotten?
Guys. Have a good day.
No, wine has not been forgotten. We have time for one more call. Okay. And another Andrew. Andrew in Boynton Beach. Go ahead, Andrew. You're on the air.
Hey, I just want to recommend Alchemist. It's in downtown West Palm Beach on Clematis. So went there, been there a couple times. I took my brother there for his bachelor party. We had an awesome time there.
Well, I think the bachelor party would have helped make the awesome time.
Right.
But, yeah, it's like a bourbon bar and a gastro club. They have really good mixed drinks there, especially if you like bourbon. And last time I went there, I had the pork burger or the Alchemist burger. It's a pork burger with pork belly, cracklings, kale. It was really, really good. I've also had some of they have like a street fair menu with like Korean tacos, stuff like that. It was amazing. So that's somewhere I'd definitely recommend. I also had a question. I'm a big pork belly fan. So I'm wondering if anyone can tell me what's the best place to go to get some pork belly.
We have to go to a break soon, so go ahead quickly. Anybody with a pork belly?
Jaya has a real good pork belly. That new place, the Satay, they have a great pork belly bun there.
Okay, so go to the Satay. They're new there. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Well, I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and we're talking about South Florida restaurants. If you couldn't have told that, we're getting all these wonderful suggestions, and all of them will be listed on my blog at dinnerinminutes.com. I'll list all of them for you. We have Evan Benn, Jen Koretnik, and Matt Meltzer with us. We'll take a short break, and we'll be back with more. And we're back. I'm Linda Gassenheimer, and it's our restaurant review program. We've been talking about the South Florida restaurant scene. Giving us the latest news is Evan Benn. He's the Miami Herald food editor. Jen Koretnik, she's the restaurant critic for Miami Magazine. And Matt Meltzer, he's the Miami editor for Thrillist Media Group. And of course, you are listeners. You've been giving us some wonderful tips about your treasures. Call in. It's 800-743-9576. 800-743-9576. WLRN, we'd love to hear from you. But now, for those nights when you're not going out for dinner, we have a Dinner in Minutes. And this one is a holiday linguine with vodka sauce. And this is given to me by an Italian friend who makes fresh pasta every Christmas. I don't know what they do the rest of the year, but that's what they do for Christmas. So it's got fresh pasta, shrimp, vodka-flavored sauce. First, of course, you have to boil the pasta, and happily, we can buy some fresh, pretty nice fresh pasta in the supermarkets. And then while that's boiling, you want to saute some onion, some garlic for a few minutes, and then, of course, you need to add the vodka and reduce that a little bit, then some tomato cubes, some bottled clam juice, and you cook that another minute, and then add the shrimp, and you only need to add that shrimp, cook it until it turns pink. A little cream never hurts. A little cream to finish off the sauce. Add it to a large bowl, toss it with the linguine, add a little fresh basil, some Parmesan cheese, and you're good to go. It's such a simple meal. And then serve it with a colorful salad. And buy an Italian salad that has some red radicchio leaves. You can get a little Christmas color in there. The complete recipe and a photo, it's at dinnerinminutes.com. And please follow me on Twitter. That's at L. Gassenheimer. Fred Tasker, I can guess what we're going to drink for the holidays.
You'll never guess, Linda. You'll never guess.
I thought so.
But I wouldn't want to disappoint you.
Okay.
Actually, there's an old Irish song that's called Christmas Comes But Once a Year. You might remember it. And it speaks of laden table, ham and goose, and pints of beer. Now, the ham and goose are fine, but you don't want beer for Christmas unless maybe you're Ben.
You're going to upset Evan tremendously.
I don't want to do that. But Christmas deserves champagne as an aperitif for every course of the meal, and finally with dessert as well. And here's how it works. When your guests arrive, you hand them a glass of Prosecco, which is the modest, light and lively Italian sparkling wine that's made entirely of white grapes. Maybe the one from Piccini Winery. It's Piccini Winery. It's only $16 a bottle. Then for the fish course, if you're having that seven courses of fish that Italians do on Christmas Eve, perhaps a Schramsberg Vineyard Blanc de Blanc sparkling wine. This is $41. And now Blanc de Blanc means it's made entirely of white grapes, so it's light in body and goes well with seafood. It's often made with Chardonnay, and it would be great with seafood from mahi, mafi, lobster, anything you're going to serve. And then when the red meat arrives, that good bubbly to go without.
I used to standing up or sitting down by the time this comes.
Well, you have to use moderation, unfortunately. I hate moderation, but you have to turn to that.
Okay,
but you hate
Fred.
Moderation. Anyway, the wine for red meat would be a rosé sparkling wine, which has enough red Pinot Noir grapes to turn it various shades of pink and has a little tannin for that reason. Mom Napa Winery's Brut Rosé would be good here, and it's only about $22. And then from dessert comes maybe an elegant, not too sweet lemon tart or an almond cake or something like that. You're going to want a bubbly with a bit of sweetness. And this would be a demi-sec wine, which means it has a little sweetness to it. Again, here, California Schramsberg comes to the rescue with this Cremant demi-sec sparkling wine from California. And as I said, demi-sec means it's a little sweet, but it's crisp and not cloying and just the thing for dessert. And it's $40. So yes, Linda, an all champagne Christmas dinner.
I knew you wouldn't disappoint, Fred.
It's for a special occasion because, as we've established, Christmas comes but once a year.
All right. Jen, did you want to say something?
I think that sounds like an excellent plan.
If champagne or sparkling wine isn't your thing, Fred also gives 10 great recommendations for high-end Chardonnays and Cabernet Sauvignons to have with the Christmas and Christmas Eve dinners. And that'll be in the Saturday's Miami Herald Tropical Life.
Okay.
Thank you, Evan.
Make sure we got that in. Thank you very much, Fred. Have a wonderful holiday.
Yeah, same to you.
I understand you don't have any snow in Michigan.
We're supposed to get some later this week, but we haven't had much yet.
All right. Well, stay warm.
Just wait.
Yeah. Yeah, 2 years ago we had 23 feet of snow, so we got to make up for it.
Okay. Let's go to line four. It's Raphael in Miami. Hello, Raphael. You're on the air.
Hi there. How is everyone doing today?
Great. Good. What have you got for us?
I've got a little, it's not little. It's a restaurant in Kendall around 88th Street and 137th Avenue. It's called Two Brothers. It's an Italian place, and I am not recommending it for the pizza, even though the pizza's good. I am recommending it for the pasta. It is amazing. If you're a first-timer, you definitely got to go and try the fiocchi di pera. Or the eggplant parmesan. Those are two of my favorites. And also, I believe, don't quote me on it, I believe on a Thursday or Wednesday, they have a free wine tasting with your dinner. So that's also a plus.
I think I should call and find out first.
That's really good. Is it a family-run place, Two Brothers?
It is Two Brothers. I actually know the brother that works at that location. There's another brother who has another location in Kendalltown and Country, though that shop is a little bit smaller.
Okay.
All right. Well, thanks for your call. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Right. Have a great day.
We'll go to line one. Is it Angel in Miami? Hello? You're on the air.
Yes.
Yes. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, honey. I have a restaurant that I can refer to. It's, we've been going to it for a long, long time, many years. It's in Fort Lauderdale, downtown Fort Lauderdale, Tom Jenkins. I don't know if somebody has already mentioned it.
It's called Tom Jenkins is the name of the restaurant?
Yeah, the old barbecue place, one of the best.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Tom Jenkins. It's run by a family, African-American family. It's great.
You smell it. You smell it when you're a mile away on US-1.
Oh, yeah. You don't have to go any further, except that I have a Southern Fried Chicken restaurant reference, but it's just a couple of miles up north. Do you want to know about it? Or?
Please.
Sure, go ahead. What is it?
Yeah, it's called Martha Lou's in Charleston, South Carolina.
just a little bit north.
Okay.
The reason I said it is because that is the best of the best.
All right. Martha Lou's. Thanks for your call.
And then I have my own recipe, which is Flaming Oxtail Barbecued.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your call.
Okay, bye.
We'll get to everyone else. Let's go to line two. Ron. Ron in Fort Lauderdale. Hi, Ron. You're on the air.
Hello, how are you doing today?
Great, go ahead.
So my problem is my wife suffers from celiac disease, so I was looking for a recommendation on a restaurant that has a gluten-free menu.
All right, anybody want to help here?
Basil Park in Sunny Isle has a lot of gluten-free items, and it's delicious. Always fresh, always very carefully made there. That's the place I like to go. My daughter and my husband are both celiac, and my mother-in-law is celiac, so we're always on the lookout for those kinds of places.
And that's a good recommendation. Tim Andiola does a nice job there.
Mm-hmm. Down in South Miami, there's an Indian restaurant called Taste Buds of India. There's also a location in Coral Gables. If you can manage to resist the non-bread, they've got some really great gluten-free vegetable dishes, rice dishes, very good.
Okay. I hope that helps you out, Ron.
Thank you very much.
Okay, terrific. Quick, one more call. Ethel in Fort Lauderdale. Hello, Ethel, you're on the air.
I live in Lauderdale, but there's a great restaurant in Tamarack, and it's called Ferro's, F-E-R-R-O, and it's Italian. It's at University and I think 84th Avenue. It's a nice, cozy place, not that large, but everything is authentic Italian, made from scratch. They have lunch specials, and if you're lucky, you can get there when they're having the shrimp parmesan. Excellent place for Italian.
Wow.
All right. Sounds good. Well, thank you for your call. We're just almost out of time here, and I want to thank everybody who called in. Once more, Evan, you're going to have a whole list of the year's top restaurants.
Year's top restaurants in Miami and the best restaurant dishes in Miami running in Saturday's Miami Herald.
All right. Just a little plug there for the Miami Herald. Okay. It's been a fun packed day. Evan Benn, Miami Herald food editor, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome.
Matt Meltzer, Miami editor for the Thrillist Media Group, thank you.
Thank you, Linda.
And Jen Koretnik, restaurant critic for Miami Magazine, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda.
Thank you all for your advice, and all the restaurants mentioned here are going to be listed on my blog. That's at dinnerinminutes.com. Fred Tasker, great advice as always.
Always a pleasure.
Enjoy your champagne.
I will. I do.
Okay. Joe Cooper and Bonnie Berman, great to be with you.
Thank you. Thanks for all the suggestions.
I wish all of you a very happy and delicious holiday season. We're going to be back the first week in January, starting our 17th year together.
Wow.
Right. I'm Linda Gassenheimer. Join me then.
Wow.
17 years. Well, thanks for listening to The Roundabout. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling, actually. Our producer, Richard Ive. Technical supervision by online producer, Paul Leary. For a free audio archive download, we have them at our website, wlrn.org. Also, more information, links, and photos at the Topical Currents Facebook page. And Bonnie and I return Monday for a program with someone whose job title is Philanthropic Advisor. She's Jenny Santi, who's written about not only the emotional but scientific benefits of giving. She advises big-time philanthropists and celebrities on how to give. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman, Linda Gassenheimer, and Fred Tasker. Stay tuned for Here and Now from NPR News.